Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. Independent producer Jennifer Fields has been bringing us a series of features called It's a Material World, in which she explores the meanings behind objects. On today's installment, she introduces us to a man for whom objects have a geographic significance.
When I produce segments about material culture, it's usually the object that drives the story. However, for ceramic artist Neil Brownsword, whose work is inspired by found objects, it's not only what you find, it's where you find it.
Place is so important, really. It's something I keep repeatedly going back to, and it's growing up in that place and being surrounded by the history of that place is why it remains so important.
It's early evening in a lecture hall at UW-Madison. Students, professors, and artists are packed in, waiting for Brownsword to take the stage. He was born in Stoke-on-Kent in Staffordshire, England. If Staffordshire sounds familiar, it's because in the early 1800s, it was the epicenter of the pottery industry. It's the birthplace of Wedgwood china, famous for its blue and white ceramic ware.
As a child, you know, the woodland at the back of Mum and Dad's house, you know, were all those clay quarries, redundant ones, and I suppose it's, again, another initial contact with the material. You're there within these quite dangerous sites, which, again, kids always kind of hang around, don't they? And the kind of view, skyline view from home, it was all hills, holes and factories, and a landscape carved by man, and the history of industry. So kind of slag heaps from the coal industry, not kind of hillsides, but kind of man-made mounds which had grassed over. So again, a connection to that kind of ugliness and, you know, a fascination for it again, you know, because it's slowly being kind of rebuilt over now. It's kind of its sense of kind of places being reclaimed, you know, buildings are kind of taking over these sites. So it's in transition.
Brownsword grew up in a town built on pottery, literally.
I think you can't avoid the kind of material culture of that place because, like I said, most of that history is bedded in the ground because there was so much of it, you know. So you kind of expose, if there's a roadworks in one of the six towns in Stoke, inevitably where someone's dug up a pipe, you can see fragments of ceramics. You know, so that connection is immediately there, you know, the kind of sense of things being broken down. And, you know, you can pick up a shard of what someone was making, you know, 100 years ago and get an immediate connection there and trace maybe the kind of fingerprints of labour from 100 years ago.
It's that kind of connection that drives his work. At the age of 16, he became an apprentice at the Wedgwood China Factory. He watched as machines slowly replaced skilled workers. Unable to compete with large-scale industrialized operations, the small factories closed. It's the evidence of anonymous labor that once made the pottery factory great that inspires him. He says, while the brand name Wedgwood is known worldwide, the human labor behind it is often forgotten.
Thumbprints and fingernail prints, kind of clay is a wonderful material for, you know, recording the memory of these actions, isn't it? You know, it's the kind of primordial material to, you know, you squeeze it, it does whatever you want to, and all this stuff has got that kind of evidence of human contact in industry. The things what I find with that trace of labour in, I don't touch, so I keep that intact, it's really important. And even the scraps from the clay scraps from the factories, which I was salvaging, it was really important that I had no physical intervention with it other than stick it in the kiln and fire it to make it permanent. And then maybe glaze it to kind of lift the kind of beauty of some of these things.
Brownsword says when he finds traditional trinkets, like the kind our grandmothers collect, he puts them back into the kiln to create new shapes. He says it's the excessive heat of the kiln that transforms them. One piece in his exhibition entitled Relic is a number of identical small white swans resting on a bent and twisted piece of metal. It's brutal, yet elegant. For one of his shows, he displayed the contents of a vacant factory. The abandoned equipment, workstations, and unfinished ceramic ware spoke volumes just as they were.
most recent work is exactly that, because they are tools which are involved in the process, which were kind of stripped out of the factories and then crated up on pallets ready for kind of shipping off or scrapping. And my intervention is basically to take them and put them in a kind of gallery space. So it's really important that I have no physical contact with those things. It's just to display them as I've found them. I haven't transformed them in any way. They are the kind of the remnants of someone hand-painting a pot, so where they've kind of mixed a colour on a plate, or where a kind of blob of ink has been deposited through that process. It's, you know, really important for me to keep that intact and display them as I've found those things.
Brown Sword says it's important to leave the tools as he found them because they symbolize an immediate physical connection with work. They are the things potters used all day, every day. The careful preservation of deserted workstations destined to become scrap metal is a metaphor for laborers lost in the global industrial age. If you should find yourself warming your hands with tea in a delicate Wedgwood cup, remember, if not for the men and women whose labor created your beautiful bit of pottery, by now you'd have wet hands and a nasty burn.
The series It's a Material World comes to us from independent producer Jennifer Fields, who's a student in material culture at UW-Madison. The project is funded by the Chipstone Foundation, a decorative arts foundation whose mission is preserving and interpreting their collection, as well as stimulating research and education in the decorative arts. Coming up next, fashion farm boy and contributor Bjorn Nasset joins us for a look at some of the latest fashion trends. Lake Effect will be back in just a moment on WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio.